Hi, and welcome to the Women in Jazz Media podcast, In Conversation With. I'm your host, Shani White, and I'm here with the lovely...
Jia Wei.
Thank you so much for coming and chatting with me. Hopefully this will be a really cool conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. I think everything we'll talk about will explain why you're such an amazing guest for this podcast. And a reason why we wanted to chat to you, as well as you being a member of the Women in Jazz Media team, which is amazing. You have so much experience and knowledge about jazz music in a completely different sphere as to what most of us, being a UK, resident is used to. So I think getting your input on things would be really, really interesting. So tell us a little bit about you. How did you get into writing? What's your experience so far?
Hello, everyone. Hello, Ash. I'm Jia Wei Hu, a jazz writer based in Shanghai, China. Well, I've been writing on jazz for over 5 years, I think. My perception of the jazz music and relevant writings comes from a variety of influences. I learned the piano since 6 and was classically trained. Jazz happened to be the last genre that I spent quite a while to learn about after classical rock, country, folk, and electronic, and blah, blah. So for now, compared with from jazz, I think I kind of took a really tiny step from all the other genres.
Yeah, so you almost had to find jazz yourself.
Well, in China, like 1 or 2 decades ago, you don't naturally have all these niche music genres introduced from mass media.
Yeah.
You have to go find them yourself.
Getting into jazz was like your last, like one of the last genres of music that you got into. So it was like classical and rock. And so is that the more popular, those are the more popular genres in China rather than jazz?
You know, back then it was mainly the domestic popular music and also the Western music, popular music, mainly played over the radio. So sometimes there is some classical music, but it's just for 1 or 2 programs over there. So it was by chance that I encountered Keith Jarrett and Charlie Haden's Jasmine. And ECM released about like 10 years ago, I think. And I was like immediately gravitated. It's lyrical, melodic, and exquisite, and calming. I learned about jazz through a lot of hearing as well as reading, because that's just the quantity that you have to work how to approach the music as a whole. That was also about when I got to know some domestic classical music critics, so I really know what in-depth criticism could do in helping people to better understand the arts. So back then, we didn't have jazz writers in mainland China. I mainly read from critics in the US, the UK, and Taiwan, which has really put far-reaching impacts on me. And jazz has totally changed my outlook on life and living with its diversity, freedom, and spontaneity, and the flow. It's very enlightening and liberating. So in the end of 2015, I think I had my first article posted, and that's what happens to now.
Nice. So it was all kind of just out of your interest and love for jazz music came your writing about it. You're just like, I have to tell people about this. I have to cover it. That's really cool. Okay, so the jazz scene is quite different in China to it is here, right? It's only kind of just coming around and being birthed, and you are one of those people helping to do that. What do you think about the differences between China and jazz and, you know, the more westernized countries like America and the UK?
Well, jazz is not a Chinese music, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So as it enters the country, I think we're witnessing a lot of absorbing and also localization, and it's all necessary and it's also good because you're working out to find your own style of the jazz music. It's just the different way you're trying to understand it and also trying to play it out. So this is the most exciting part for me to be a witness over there.
Yeah, I think that's super cool as well for jazz music to have such a staple thing. And the whole point of jazz is for jazz to be really expressive and emotional and leave things open for people to explore. And in China and watching the jazz scene kind of come about, probably from your perspective, is seeing that in its rawest form, like people taking something on, changing it, new ideas and all of
that.
It's super, super cool. So is jazz music more popular in some parts of China, or I know it's quite popular in Shanghai and Beijing. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of where you look into jazz music in those areas, or are there loads of different scenes?
Of course, like Beijing and Shanghai, they are, I would say, they're leading the jazz industry to move forward domestically, mm-hmm. because jazz is still, by now it's still an urban art. It lives in the city,
yeah,
at most. And we have, like in Beijing, there are some traditional resources of the entertainment industry. So this is where some other popular music resources most concentrated in Beijing. And in Shanghai, it just works out a different way. We have almost equivalent amounts of young rising musicians in Beijing and also in Shanghai, though in recent years, some jazz musicians are moving from Beijing to Shanghai, especially during the COVID times. And also, I would say, apart from Beijing and Shanghai, Shenzhen is another leading city, in recent years when jazz is trying to grow. Shenzhen is especially shines during its Octave Jazz Festival, because this is the most avant-garde jazz carnival in mainland China, but it was canceled last year.
Oh, because of COVID.
Due to the reason we all know, yeah.
So Blue Note. So you've worked with Blue Note, right? Blue Note China. Tell me your experience with that. That is crazy. That's an amazing thing.
Oh, it's definitely amazing. Blue Note China has long been my biggest partner, actually. I think from the about 80 articles I've published, I think more than 60 are with them. Mm-hmm. So in the past 4 years, we have built really valuable tacit understanding with each other. I am working with them. I'm given complete trust, space, and all support that I might need to write. I'm also free to choose the concerts that I feel like writing and recommending, because the most articles I write for them, they never force me to do anything that violates my personal will. This is the most important to me. Not even persuasion. So I would say I'm deeply engaged and really enjoy this cooperation. And it's really interesting because working with Bruno, it was like working with an all-female department. The marketing team, yeah. They're all wonderful women. They're super communicative and efficient. And we discuss about the reasons of booking and the things of the concerts, the lineups and the projects. It's just everything. They're super cooperative and supportive. Just a bunch of open-minded people who really care about the music. So it's really wonderful because Blue Note Beijing is only 4 years old and the Shanghai venue has just been 1 year. I think like 4 months before COVID. Well, of course, every venue needs to pay attention to profits and daily operations, but it's always music first, audience first, investing in the future first, brand image first with Blue Note. So we all understand that jazz is still at the beginning in China. Blue Note does support critical writing, which is amazing. And they are rigorous with facts and objective comments. They're really interested in introducing the music first more than just selling it.
Yeah.
And this is really the magic key to our long-term cooperation.
Mm-hmm. And I completely agree. I feel like any media outlet should allow for the writers to be, if they need to be critical, be critical. If they need to praise, mm-hmm. if what they want to talk about should be the main, you know, thing as to what they should write about. And that's really cool that Blue Note gave you the opportunity to do that. What would you say your favorite piece of writing was that you've done for Blue Note? Your favorite interview or your favorite review? Or
I think I've done a couple of interviews that I really enjoy with Blue Note, and they really helped me out to connect with the manager and the artist. I really like that Aaron Park's interview I did with them in 2019, and it was also published in English at All About Jazz later.
Yeah, lovely.
And also I did the Danilo Paris interview through email with them, and also Kenny Gary. And I think I also did Sasha Vasadoni's interview with their help.
Yeah.
I think it's, and it was actually conducted in the Jazz at Lincoln Center, Shanghai. So it was really interesting, like building all this connection all together.
Yeah, sounds so fun. So I know you mentioned that the Blue Note team has quite a big female mm-hmm. team, which is great, because that's mm-hmm. kind of what we're all here for, is to, you know, raise the awareness that there's not enough equality in jazz media and jazz journalism. So that's amazing that as small as jazz is there at the moment, they're already doing things to kind of balance out that kind of gender equality. Do you think there's more that can be done in China, or do you think it's like too small to even see that there is a big gap between diverse writers? And
I think it's pretty interesting because most people like working at the marketing team or PR team or promotion team that I've been communicating with are mostly female. But the musicians, the local musicians, are mostly men.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so it was quite like a contrast. I don't really understand. I don't really get it why there is such a contrast in the different sections. But it's just been quite interesting. It's not just about jazz. Like, yeah. Because I also write for Shanghai Symphony Orchestra for 4 years. And this girl, I've been communicating with her for 4 years. And I know on her team, most of her colleagues are also women. Women tend to be more communicative, and also like they really feel the music, feel the details, and care about the promotion itself. But I think there are just more musicians over there who are men.
Yeah.
And also writers. I don't think there is an gender inequality with writers in China, actually, because the jazz music is still just developing in its first stage, and we don't really have a lot of writers over there. Mm-hmm. So you can't really say like there is some inequality over there. I think it's for us to see, to wait and see in the coming like 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, of course, to see, yeah. And yeah. It's funny what you say about the male musicians being more than male writers, because I feel like
definitely.
I think that's kind of the same here in the UK. I feel like, especially instrumentalists, like jazz guitarists, you know, jazz bassists,
guitar,
they're mostly male.
Guitar in particular,
yeah, especially guitar, which is, I don't know, I don't know whether it's strange mm-hmm. or it's just something I haven't really thought about, but there's a lot more female singers than there are female guitarists, say. But because jazz is at such a beginning stages in China, I feel like potentially mm-hmm. Disagree with me if you want, potentially there's more room to make sure that gender gap doesn't happen. So to, you know, inspire young women to get into writing about jazz and music and being in different forms of media, seeing as it's kind of growing. Do you think there's any initiatives that we can kind of get behind or do to encourage women to write in media?
I would like to see that happen. Yeah, most writers are just male around me, and I also once asked one of them, like, do you have any female writer friend that you know? And that male friend just told me that, yeah, I don't know, like, there is no one female if you don't ask me. I never thought about that yet. I guess that just none of us really pay attention to this issue, but it does exist. Mm-hmm. But also, I just know someone who is really brilliant, is a female writer, but a journalist, but I think she not only covers jazz, it's just the arts in general, and who works for China Daily. So I've been reading her works in English, and she's really great, I think. Mm. And also she's of my age.
Yeah. And I think it's cool. I think it's cool that you have these women in China writing about this new genre.
Definitely.
Which will most likely appeal to young people, because it's something new, it's something different, it's something against the norm that, you know, rebellious kids, you know, would want to get into mm-hmm. or fall in love with, because it's jazz music. So it's really cool to see people like yourself and the other female writers in China being role models.
Oh, thank you.
Young ladies. So yeah. Honestly, and I bet I appreciate what you do, and I can't imagine how much.
Thank you. I'm flattered.
What do you think we could do to further popularize jazz in China? Is there anything else we could do to get the message, get the word out there?
Well, I am basically a media person. I learned public relations for my bachelor degree. So I definitely think it has to be reported like abroad and at home. And being reported at home is definitely what I and my friends have been doing, like writing on it and reporting on the latest updates, and also started writing, contributing to All About Jazz since 2019. The main idea is to just tell people, tell the world what's happening in China, because I've encountered so many people who are really professional, I think, even some jazz critic in America. They never heard of there is Bruno in China. They never heard of there is a jazz at Lincoln Center in Shanghai, which is really amazing because the venues has been there for 3 and even 4 years. And yeah. I do think that the New York team, because Bruno is like, Bruno, the headquarters is in New York. The New York teams have been really working hard to promote the Chinese venues. But back in the United States, there is no one knowing about all this. So it's just really astonishing to me.
Yeah.
And also feel like it's a good thing if the Chinese jazz scene is getting more international exposure, because I just felt like enough international exposure would also raise awareness at home, and that would bring in more like capital investment, talent investment, and people work to build the platforms. We already have some, but it's definitely not enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think also for people from the UK and the US to know that these venues are, you know, open and mm-hmm. people want to come and see jazz in China, that it kind of mm-hmm. gives them more opportunity to go and travel to those places and bring shows to those places, you know, and bring a new genre of music and maybe a new style. Because there's so many different types of jazz that are happening now in the UK and in the US, which is something I'm really passionate about,
yeah.
that I think people need to hear, you know? So knowing
yeah.
and hearing all these things are being reported on, and there's a Twitter page for... Mm-hmm. Shanghai jazz and Beijing jazz, and it just it forms a bigger sense of community that people can kind of get involved in. So I think mm-hmm. I completely agree with anything we can do, just reporting on it and talking about it and
yeah, just let people know.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So obviously the year 2020 was a bit horrible for everyone with COVID and everything. How has that impacted the jazz scene in China? Do you think it's kind of taken you a step back, or has it actually thrown out any advantages for the scene in China?
Well, I don't think it's a black or white question. And there's some challenges, a lot. But there are also some, you know, opportunities over there, like the international travels are cut down, and also for venues like Bruno China, Bruno Beijing and Shanghai, and also for Jazz at Lincoln Center Shanghai, which used to depend heavily on American artists in particular. Mm-hmm. They are now trying to change their way and giving more domestic musicians the chance to play there. Mm-hmm. So the COVID has stopped the top class international concerts out of China, but it has also given the domestic scene a chance to grow faster. So we've witnessed a lot of, and also actually there was more jazz musicians coming up whose name I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And they now have a chance to shine, which is really great, because you really need this stage experience to mature.
Yes.
So it's actually accelerating the development of domestic scene.
Nice. And I think that's really cool, because yeah, I get what you mean about having it's mm-hmm. great to have international acts come to
yeah.
a different country and play and show.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah.
But it's also incredible when those mm-hmm. because those international acts can't come now, the mm-hmm. people that live in the country or in the city will feel like, oh, do you know what? Like, we could do that. Like, we could perform here. And I think it's then just a chain reaction of people seeing their own people from their own city doing this style of music and being like, do you know what? We can do that too. Like, we can mm-hmm. make a jazz band. Of course, we don't have to be American to make jazz, or we don't have to be from the UK. We can be from China, you know?
Yeah.
But it creates a scene, you know, and it will create a different type of jazz that comes from mm-hmm. Beijing and comes from Shanghai.
Mm-hmm.
and comes from that culture, which is amazing.
Don't all the time.
You honestly are incredible. For English to be your second language, and you literally sat here for what, half an hour and had a conversation in your second language. I've been learning Italian since when? September. And I probably have the speaking of about a five-year-old. So it's incredible what you can do. Yeah, so I did some research about jazz in China. And it did say that it was maybe like 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, when jazz was like quite big in America, that it was classed kind of the same as pornography. And it was very confusing for me. I didn't really understand it. I don't know whether that would have any standing.
Never heard of that, actually. Yeah. Because, well, all I can say is jazz has its biggest exposure, like in around 1920s and 30s in Shanghai. It was classified as some dance music, I would say, for the higher class. So, no, probably something that I won't relate it to, because as the dance music for some higher class, for the rich people, jazz is definitely something like a luxury back then.
Okay.
But the time, I mean, jazz didn't really get enough time to develop in China much later, not even in Shanghai back then, because just a couple of years before 1949. Jazz did flourish during 1920s and 30s, but the jazz development in China is like, it has its ups and downs. And only until like 1990s, I think, jazz is re-entering China really slowly through Beijing and Shanghai. So if it was classified as some upper class music, I just won't relate it to pornography. Yeah, I
it
don't
doesn't
see
make any sense,
the
it?
Reason why. Yeah.
That's why we should always fact check our research, because it doesn't make any sense now that you've explained it to me.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming and being a part of this interview.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Check us out every month for a new episode of In Conversations With, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. The Women in Jazz Media podcast is brought to you exclusively by Jazz Tribes.